Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
All right. The Sam Darnold Report on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Miller Lite and by the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association. Sam, it's Chris Carlin filling in for Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing, man?
Hey, Chris. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the time. First of all, I was trying to think of another game in the last 2 years. Was that the worst weather that you have played in ever in your life?
We had a pretty rainy game, surprisingly, in Southern California when I was at SC. We had a rainy game my redshirt freshman year against Notre Dame, which was pretty stormy, but yeah, that was definitely up there.
That couldn't have been a whole lot of fun up there, but you came away with a win, and the team obviously played much better down the stretch of this season. First thing I want to get out of the way, Sam, did you watch The Office? Are you a big Office fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you're familiar with Michael Scott gifts and such that are all over Twitter, right?
Yes.
So earlier today, your head coach was asked about Le'Veon Bell and asked if he wanted him back for next year. So just in case you didn't hear it, let me play it for you real quick. And it simply was just a very quick soundbite. And Adam was asked, do you want Le'Veon Bell back for next year?
He's under contract for 3 more years. You can ask Joe tomorrow.
Do you want him back?
You can ask Joe tomorrow. I'm not the personnel. I'm not in charge of personnel.
So Le'Veon saw that on Twitter and just responded with a Michael Scott gif of a blank stare. I don't really know what to make of any of it, but it's blowing up out there. So what do you make of the Adam Gase, Le'Veon Bell relationship from what you can tell us without putting you in too much of a difficult position?
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, I mean, the conversation that they have in the building, you know, it wouldn't, you know, there's no conflict or anything there. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's nothing to it.
I got you. Now, would you ever use a Michael Scott gif to respond to something?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In my, like in a friend group chat or something. Oh, yeah, they're used all the time.
No question. All right. Fair enough. You know, tell me a little bit about year two for you, because everybody talks about, for young quarterbacks in their rookie year, that you hit that rookie wall at some point and you're absolutely exhausted. And in a lot of ways, for year two was difficult for you with having the mono at the beginning of the year, kind of threw everything off. Do you feel differently in that regard at the end of year two than you did year one, or are you equally maybe as exhausted?
I wouldn't say, you know, to end both years, I feel like I wasn't very exhausted. You know, I feel quite the opposite, actually. I felt like, you know, both seasons, towards the end of the season, I just wanted to keep playing more football. I mean, I felt like our team was really in a good rhythm the last half of the season. Obviously, we would have liked to be in that rhythm early on, but that's just kind of how it was both seasons. So I felt really good, you know, going into the back half and to end the season, and really both seasons wished we, you know, could have played more ball.
When you look back at it, Sam, why was this a tale of two seasons for the Jets?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that factor into it. You know, I think, you know, having mono, you know, the first, you know, really the first like 4 weeks or so didn't help. I think, you know, being out those three games didn't help at all. But, yeah, I think that might have to do with it a little bit. But at the same time, I think just the longer you're in an offense, and this goes for everyone, it's the more comfortable you get. And, you know, it's I feel like that was kind of us. I feel like, you know, it was just continuing to feel comfortable with the offense and, you know, it was just good to be able to finally, you know, feel like we got a rhythm going in the back half and, you know, and with everything going on with the O-line, you know, all the injuries that happened too. I feel like we finally got settled in and finally got, you know, just, you know, I feel like everyone was just comfortable and we started playing consistent football in the back half of the season. And I feel like that kind of led to more consistent football from us.
Sam Darnold with us in his weekly spot on 98.7 ESPN Radio here on the Michael Kay Show. Sam, you were playing in your third different system in 3 years, and you mentioned the mono. How much did that put you behind the eight ball in terms of getting comfortable with it?
Yeah, I mean, the more experience you get in an offense, the more comfortable you feel with it. You know, that's just the truth. And, you know, the not getting to play those three games definitely didn't help that situation. So
tell me about your relationship with Adam, because all we see is the gruff Adam in the press conferences. What is he like to work with for you? Because he's here primarily because he's viewed as a guy that can develop a quarterback.
Yeah, he's a great coach, but more than that, he's a great person. He's just someone you want to be around. He's just a very, very positive guy, and, you know, he's an easy guy to play for. You know, he wants communication. You know, he's always in there joking around with players, having fun with the guys, and, you know, all the players, not just me, but everyone feels comfortable enough to go up to him and communicate anything that's going wrong or even things they like. You know, they communicate what they like to him as well. So, you know, it's a very even flow with in terms of conversation with Adam. And, you know, that's the best thing to have in a head coach, in my opinion.
How do you think he has influenced you and helped you improve the most through this year?
I think that's just it. I think the communication aspect, you know, him being open to me about, like, saying, hey, dude, like, we want you to communicate what you like, what you don't like, because at the end of the day, I'm the one playing out there. And that goes for everyone on the offense, you know. So just the openness of communication that he's accepted and that he's really done a really good job of you know, communicating with all of us as players. You know, that's really the best thing that he's taught me this year. And obviously there's a ton of little details that he's taught me throughout the year in terms of the offense and also fundamentally. So he's just a really good football coach, and we're really, really happy that we have him.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, some people believe that when you finish a season strong, it can carry over into next year. There's always turnover in the roster, as we know. Why would that be the case for this Jet team? Going 6-2 down the stretch of the year, why will this team be better next year?
Well, I've been saying it, you know, ever since the beginning of the season. Our team has potential. You know, we have a potential to win games. It's just about continuing to play consistent football. And that's really what it is, you know, moving forward. It's, you know, how can we get better in OTAs? How can we get better in training camp? And then, you know, moving forward into the regular season, how can we just continue to put our best foot forward every single game, really find our identity on offense, and really just take it one game at a time? I feel like if we do that, we'll have a good shot next year.
Sam Darnold with us, his final weekly spot of the year here on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Sam, Robbie Anderson, later in the year, got better, more productive. What was the big difference from him, from working with him every day?
Yeah, I think, you know, different guys stepped up early in the year, and then Robbie showed up, really stepped up for us in the last half of the season. You know, these last couple of years I've been with him, he's been awesome. He just comes in and works every single day and, you know, isn't going to say much, but he's just going to put his head down and go to work. And, you know, that's really, to be honest, that's our entire receiving crew. I mean, all the guys that we have, whether it's the receivers, tight ends, running backs, no one's going to complain. No one's going to say anything, you know, that you shouldn't say. You know, everyone's just putting their head down, going to work. And if we win, that's really all everyone cares about. You know, it doesn't matter who's productive. So Robbie's just done a really good job this last half of the season and really in the beginning of the season as well. You know, he just didn't catch as many balls in the first half of the season. So, yeah, he's done a really good job, and Robbie's a really good player.
Has it been a case of maturation for him too?
Yeah, I think all of us, I mean, in the offense, I feel like all of us matured throughout the year. You know, as the year went on, and that kind of goes to one of your first questions was, you know, how did it feel like kind of two different seasons almost? And I feel like we did a lot better in the second half of the season just because we just felt really comfortable. You know, we continued to play games in this offense and felt really good. So that's just really it. You know, everyone just, I feel like we just played more consistent football and felt comfortable. And, you know, it's, yeah, I feel like that has a lot to do with some of the success that we had down the back half.
Outside of bowling at 251, Le'Veon was drawing rave reviews all season long for how he was as a teammate. But the production wasn't, I think, what he would have wanted and certainly not what the Jets were looking for. When you look at it for Le'Veon, how can that get better? Why do you think it wasn't quite what maybe everybody expected this year?
Sure. Yeah, I think one thing that Le'Veon does great is he comes in and works every single day. He doesn't complain one bit about, you know, if he didn't get enough touches or anything like that. He's just a really good teammate. You know, I'm not sure in terms of, you know, production or anything like that. I mean, there's a lot that we need to look at from all the games collectively. There were a lot of different circumstances, especially in the, you know, first half of the season with, you know, being in, you know, third and, you know, six and long when, or six plus where, you know, we got to throw the ball. And then, you know, most of the time, especially during the first half of the season, we weren't converting those. So just not being out there on the field, you know, you're not, you know, you can't put up statistically good numbers. So I feel like that had a little bit to do with it. But yeah, I feel like once we watch more of the games throughout the season, I feel like we'll have a better feel and we'll be able to give you a better answer on that one.
You know, he's a different kind of running back than most running backs because he is so patient and because he can stop on a dime just in the middle of a scrum and find a small crack to try to run through. And I would imagine it takes time for an offensive line to get used to that. Do you think that played a role in it because he is so different in his running style?
No, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that factor into it. That could have been one of them. I'm not really sure. I think one of the things as well is, you know, teams are doing a lot to stop him. They know how good he is out of the backfield catching the football and also running the football. So teams are doing a lot to try to stop him. And, you know, there's a lot that factors into it.
Would you ever respond to your head coach with a Michael Scott gif?
I guess it kind of depends on the context of what we're talking about. But, you know, if the situation's right, maybe.
Here's the other thing. Adam doesn't strike me as a guy that's watched The Office.
I don't know.
I
feel like just from my experiences and hanging out with him a little bit. I feel like that's kind of his humor, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I can see that. It's just he strikes me as a guy that's probably watching tape a lot more than he's watching The Office.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he watches a good amount of tape, but, you know, I think during the off season we have a lot of time to decompress and watch some TV shows. I'm sure he's watching The Office.
All right, man. Listen, we appreciate it. Who's the best character on the show?
Ooh, I got to go Dwight.
All right. I'm going Kevin, but that's primarily a fat and bald thing and, you know, not that bright. So, but that's just me. Anyway, listen, thanks, Sam. We appreciate it. Enjoy your off season. I'm sure the boys will talk to you soon.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.